Our reading tonight is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes the wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. I think I may have to take a deep breath now as I throw myself at your mercy and admit I have preached this sermon before. Not here, but in my previous life in Ashby de la Zouche, where along with the morning service there, it was actually my most repeated talk to various older people's groups in the area. So when I felt drawn to this passage once more, I argued with God, won't I be repeating myself yet again? Well, yes, said God. So I argued with God some more. Surely to use it again, even with a whole new set of listeners in a whole new Welsh world, just has to be repetition with a capital R, surely. And God smiled at me and asked me, do I repeat myself in scripture at all, anywhere? And when I repeat myself, because that was a rhetorical question, isn't it when there is something very important I want you to hear? So, here is yet another reflection on the very familiar Psalm 46, trusting that God knows what God is doing. And those of you who know this psalm well, which for you is the standout line? Which is your favourite line of this psalm? Any offers? Thank you. I'm glad you said that one. Be still. It's what we crave, isn't it? It's what we want to hear about. It's what I want to talk about anyway. Stillness. If only we had the time, the opportunity, the ability to be still in our hearts and minds and bodies, then we would have the calm, the strength, the peace of mind to get to know God so much better, to follow God's guiding, to feel God's healing touch, to deal so much better with stuff. Be still and know that I am God. Yet this psalm is anything but still. This has got to be one of the most noisy, most action-packed, most dramatic psalms, and it's perhaps meant to be. Life is anything but still. Life is dramatic, whether we like it or not. The psalms are amazing tools for life application. However you are feeling, whatever you're dealing with, you will find a psalm which says, I know, I've been there, it's like this, and here too is God. Psalm 46 is a song describing the power of God's presence and protection, even in the most calamitous of circumstances, using some of the most big and noisy images you could possibly imagine. Think of mountains falling into the sea, the cracking of the mighty rocks, the great crash of surface wave as the ocean shoots up into the sky and the mountains plunge, huge plug hole sucking sounds of displaced currents, the maelstrom of wave and foam, the sound of an earthquake, the crashing weight of the whole earth, opening its great wide mouth and gulping, swallowing itself up. This is a psalm to be expressed out loud, dramatically, even without a sound system. You can't sing that sort of noise quietly, the sound of creation in pain. Whether these words were written to express the feelings, thoughts, hopes, desires of a single person or a whole nation, the Israelites claimed them to express their own troubles, their own calamitous history, their own fears. Jordan is a rift valley. Earthquakes were real, even in the promised land. And how they had struggled in reaching there. How they were still struggling. How they still are. I'm a bit of a word watcher. You might know that by now. And one of the most used words in our society seems to me to have been for a long time, stress. But now I feel it's been narrowly overtaken by the word uncertainty. And this psalm, this amazing tool for life application, allows us to express, to remember our own uncertainties, our own troubles, our own history, our own fears, individually, locally, globally. Think of the great seismic shifts in our own lives and societies, the smash and crash of broken relationships and accepted orders, the plug hole drain of disappointment, the howling wind of loss, the crack of change, the splintering of plans, the shrieks of pain, the shouts of anger, the terrifying repetitions of violence and hatred in the news every day, the way things just come crashing down around our ears, out of nowhere, and suddenly life swallows us up. If you read the Psalms, they're all so honest. There's no pretense that there is no trouble, no drama, no pain. There can't be, for in the midst of that trouble, God is still here, our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble, not a panacea, a quick fix, a shallow there, but an immense statement of here, born out of real experience. Joe Marino pointed out this morning that God in our midst means God is suffering with us. God is still here, an ever-present help in trouble. Even though these things happen, these noisy, calamitous things which frighten us, send us running for cover, we will not fear. God is where we find our protection. God understands us. God gives us the courage to carry on. We will not fear. Worth repeating, huh? Not just worth, imperative. It's what the Israelites held on to. It's what we hold on to. What we come each week to say thank you for, to learn about. It's what we try to remember in between God's great, hold-onable faithfulness, God's wonderful, constant, lodestar presence in our calamitous, unpredictable, uncertain, oftentimes frightening lives. This song is meant to be repeated. Honestly, it's liturgy. It's a song to be sung in the temple, or maybe as part of a procession through the streets of Jerusalem. A song of victory, a celebration of the power of Jerusalem as God's holy city, a mountain which can never fall. The mountain, the holy place, where God from the fiery heart of the burning bush promised Moses would worship after he had set his people free. The holy place where the Most High dwells. Imagine myriad voices all raised in praise, a mountaintop experience where God is with us and within us. God is within the holy city. Imagine the sound of gladness of hundreds and hundreds of people come home. Imagine the cymbal crash of entrance, the drum roll of joy, the piping thrill of freedom. How much noise would that make? The Israelites celebrating their joy in the promised presence of God. They'd want people to hear, to share their joy. They'd want to tell it again and again. They'd want their lifted praise to melt the world. It's what the Israelites lifted up, and it's what we lift up too. The song of God with us and within, the praise of what God has done. God's great, surprising, we never thought that would happen presence in our lives. God's wonderful, how did we deserve those gifts to us each day of love? What a joyful noise. This is such a noisy, lively psalm. And even as we say or sing, come and see what God has in mind for the rest of the world. His vision of peace in the third part, the ceasing of war to the ends of the earth. This psalm just gets noisier. More dramatic. Imagining the shattering crash of every bow, the splintering of every spear, the spark of flames and roar of fire as every shield of every war to the ends of the earth is burnt once and for all. It's how battles back then ended, with a great burning on the battlefield, the roar of peace. A ceasefire louder than the war. And God breaks in for the whole world to hear. Be still and know that I am God. I wonder, does God break in above the din? Does God shout louder to be heard? Louder than the loudest thunder, louder than the mountains breaking. I've tried in my time to lead some pretty noisy groups, especially when I was in Ashby. They were mostly older, often lonely people, coming and greeting each other and needing to talk. And so when it's time for us all to be still, I find I can't shout above their din. It just doesn't work. I'd end up shrieking, getting higher and higher, adding to the general noise and shredding my vocal cords in the process. I noticed Madness had to go really low to get everyone's attention last Sunday morning. And I found that I had to speak in my normal voice and be still myself and wait quietly, patiently, until one or two noticed. And slowly people realized it was time to start. They did give me a whistle, but I don't think I ever used it. Does God shout over our din? Or is God still within it? Does God wait patiently and powerfully for his presence to be felt in our lives? Well, God certainly waited for Moses to notice the burning bush and turn toward it before speaking. And in Jeremiah, God waits for his people to find him when they seek him with all their hearts. And with Elijah, God chose to wait for the fireworks to fizzle out, and the thunder and the wind and the fire to die away before he made his presence felt in the still small voice, the quiet whisper. There is nothing like God as stillness, she says, repeating herself yet again, and also this time a contemplative named Meister Eckhart. He said that. So we don't have to wait until the final verse of our lives, until the final bow is broken, or the final spear is shattered, or the final shield is burnt for God to break in with the stillness we crave. God has been powerfully present throughout our history. Although the command to be still and know that I am God comes near the end of the psalm, it heralds for us a new beginning. Because God waited to break in a whole new way, an even smaller, quieter way to say, be still and know that I am God. At the heart of all our noise, our roar, our fears, our joys of life, a child is born. Okay, childbirth can be noisy, babies cry, but compared to the big noise of nations and earthquakes, it's a still, small voice. In a baby's still presence, people grow quieter, gentler. Kings have been known to dissemble. Power has been known to kneel. Be still and know that I am God. So we can say, thank you, God. Your presence powerfully in our lives through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Not shouting over the din, not roaring powerfully over the crowds, but through last breath words of forgiveness from a cross and echoed through the silence of an empty tomb. The Spirit to share the good news of forgiveness, not shouted from the rooftops, but given by the risen Christ as a gentle single breath in a door-closed room. The city of God, through God's gift of grace, is in our hearts. We will not fall. There is a river with the flowing streams of the water of life. This is our story, the one we sing, the one we share to melt the world. But who will hear? We live in such a crowded, dramatic, noisy world where everything is amplified, or not tonight, distorted, where there are so many powerful voices, so many ideas, opinions, viewpoints, so many memories, so many calamities. We are so full with it, we've even moved into cyberspace and made a parallel universe full of noise and drama. And now we've augmented reality as well as virtual reality. Pokemon Go, anyone? It's hard to hear ourselves think or speak or cry or shout or breathe. Never mind, make God heard. But God keeps breaking in. Be still and know that I am God. Can we still ourselves to the point that our trembling, vacillating, quaking hearts are so engaged to this challenging, earth-shattering, life-changing, shimmering beauty of God's word that together we are the compass needle slowly stilling and then pointing to Christ for others to follow. It's a challenge. And I thought that image came to me actually while I was running on Newbury Beach, hardly still. There might be nothing like God as stillness, But how the world spins. How fast do we go? We are going at such an Olympic spin pace just to keep pace that if we tried literally to be still, it would have to be with an emergency stop. We'd have to apply the brakes so hard, there'd be one great big pile-up. We might not be able to stop the spinning, but we can slow down. There's a little word in between the three parts of this noisiest, noisy psalm, Selah. It's one of the most mysterious words in the Hebrew language, hard to understand, but there it is, repeated three times, repeated, so it must be important. After the fearful sounds of the mountains crashing, Selah. After the sounds of joy and triumph, Selah. After the ceasefire and the great command to be still, Selah. Selah is thought to be some sort of musical direction. It might be another sound, perhaps a cymbal crash, but it denotes a break in the singing, a pause for breath. It might come from the Hebrew word kala, which means to hang in the balance, a term when scales were used to measure the value of gold. In other words, when you see the word Selah, the musical director is asking you to pause, to consider, to weigh carefully the value of what has gone before. In the Amplified Bible, Selah is denoted as pause and calmly think about that. If you follow the directions, the psalm is slowed right down with a pause in between each part so each part can be considered carefully. Where are the Selahs in our life's verses? Or do we just leap from one change to another, morphing instead of growing? Where are the places we pause as a community? Where do we take time to consider carefully, to weigh what God is saying to us? Do we recognize the value of the gold? We might not be able to stop the world from spinning, but there is great power in slowing down, great worth in working towards becoming still, great wisdom in staying with things a little while before acting, even if you don't want to be there. Stillness is a discipline. Stillness is self-control, fruit of the Spirit. We can work hard on our pauses. If we were cats or dogs or rabbits at this point, that would be bad English. But we are human, and so we need our pauses. We can stop and think calmly about our own relationships with God. When do we pause just to be in His presence? It is so hard, isn't it? But it becomes less hard if we can also work on our pauses in our own lives and relationships. We all have a tendency to react to mountains crashing or fearful situations with fight or flight. We crash about more, or we crash out, or both. It's natural. It's our sympathetic nervous system which creates adrenaline for survival. But God says, I am in that situation, and I say, Selah. Pause, stay with it, and think about it carefully before hitting out or running away. 4 years ago, at the first time of repetition, I got bitten by a horsefly on holiday on my hand. I react very badly to horsefly bites in every way. My hand swelled up and I kept flinging it around and going, well, look at my hand, it really hurts, what am I going to do? I did go to the doctor, who basically said, keep it still and supported. So I went around looking like a boxer short of a glove for a few days. But the swelling slowly absorbed into the body and my hand got better. God saying, you are the body of Christ. If it's too painful, hold still. If all you want to do is run and fight, then the body is here to give its support. It's here to help each other heal. Trust the body to help you hold still, to learn how to pause. And a strange thing, every time I decide to go for this message, I get bitten again on the hand. I must try making this a winter sermon, or even getting one of those big beekeeping outfits. Maybe that would help. But I remember what to do now. To hold still. Don't flap. It'll only make it worse. Hold still. Let the body absorb the allergic reaction naturally. A poorly pour means pause. Thank you, God, for repeating yourself so creatively, I think, every time I get bitten. But I believe God did, so that I could share it with you once more in a time in our church life of summer break, when perhaps the things you want to get done right now can't happen because of the holidays. Even trying to change your coffee rotor is a challenge. In this time of our church life, where there could be all sorts of reactions to all sorts of things, when all sorts of stuff might feel out of kilter or uncertain because we are still in our pastoral vacancy. We are still waiting for the new minister, among other things. Or in this time in our own lives, when because of trouble, uncertainty, brokenness, pain or fear, we search all about for relief and an end to it. When we hold on to Psalm 46 like an anchor in a storm. In all these times, is God saying, let this be a time when we work hard on our pauses? Maybe we should let this summer be a time of Selah, where we weigh everything carefully before carrying on, and where we trust the body of Christ to hold us if we need to heal. I think the prayer meeting that we had on Thursday was such a time of Selah, where we weighed the gold of all that God has given us this far, where we recommitted our waiting on him, and where we prayed for each other. Let this time, this summer, be a time of Selah, a time of stillness, where we wait upon God and where we as the body of Christ bear with each other and perhaps absorb each other's pain. For as Teresa of Avila, another contemplative, said, now Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. So let's be still and know that God is God in this place. Let's be still for each other. Support each other. Selah.